Anoush, let's take a look at your first story here. And this is India's sterilisation campaign. This is coming under fire, and you may have heard this in the news today. 11 women have died at a government-run camp after undergoing these surgeries. So what's the problem, Anoush?
To start with, I'll just give a background to the sterilisation program. It's part of a decades-long government initiative to curb population growth in India, which is now the world's second most populous nation, and it's said that in the coming years it could overtake China. So the Indian government has been organizing health camps in different states. The program is not forced, but many health activists say it's not ethical because quite often incentives and money are given out to women who undergo these surgeries. Usually they are paid between $10 to $20. And this latest incident in the state of Chhattisgarh has seen 11 women die, mainly blamed on negligence. It's said that a single doctor performed more than 80 surgeries within a span of 6 hours. And this incident has, you know, once again put the focus back on the government's sterilization program.
Just an outrageously sad story. What are the authorities doing, Anoush? What are they looking at? Because this just can't happen again.
I mean, this is not the first time that deaths have occurred at these government-run health camps. It's happened before as well. According to India's health ministry, more than 700 people have died since 2008 while undergoing government-sponsored surgeries for sterilization. And most of these are women. Even though the program was introduced in 1976, you know, it still continues. And initially there were quotas set. Quite often the poor were lured with money and other incentives. It said that even health officials are given incentives in order to maintain those numbers in different states and districts. Now it's hoped that at least this incident will be another eye-opener, forcing the government to take strong action, ensure that at least, you know, the basic safety guidelines and procedures are met. And also trying to do away with the quota system and focusing more on other forms of contraception, not just on these surgeries and sterilization programs.
So you've mentioned there have been hundreds of deaths at these health camps over the last few years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it in the headlines now that we've had 11 deaths? Why is this capturing such attention now worldwide?
There's a lot of attention on these incidents when deaths occur, but you know, over the last 2 to 3 years there haven't been any big numbers. So now that there are 11 women reported dead, and it's said that many more are in hospital and the death toll could rise again, there's a lot of emphasis on this entire issue. And since there's a new government in power, there are hopes from certain quarters that maybe there'll be a different set of rules as far as these sterilization programs are concerned. Whether there will be a dramatic change remains to be seen.
Has there been any immediate impact, Anoush? Have any health centres shut down since this announcement that there have been nearly a dozen deaths? Or will we just have to wait and see what happens?
We'll have to wait and see what happens, because usually these surgeries are not performed at health centres. They are temporary camps, you know, these roaming camps that move from district to district or village to village. That's where the problem lies, because when you have these temporary shelters, you need to ensure that all the safety aspects and guidelines are thoroughly followed and ensure that there's no room for negligence at all.
And obviously in this case, that wasn't what happened. It's just horrifying, Anoush. Second story that you're following today is Myanmar hosting world leaders for summits. It's the first, and this is why it's interesting, first international gathering in the country in, well, literally decades.
Yes, in fact, it's the first since the start of reforms in the country and after it broke free of military rule. So there are international leaders, the likes of US President Barack Obama, Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott, leaders of China, Japan, India and many other countries who are in Myanmar for two summits. One is the ASEAN summit and the other one is the East Asia summit. And it's an important one for Myanmar because landmark elections are due there towards the end of 2015, and the country does require the backing of the international community, and a heavyweight summit or gathering of this nature is an opportunity for Myanmar to show how far it has come over these last 3 to 4 years and to display, you know, the scale of reforms being initiated there.
It's all very well to have a summit and to invite world leaders, but it's got to be meaningful. What do we expect to be discussed, and do we expect anything particular to come from it?
Since many world leaders are going to be at one place at the same time, a number of global issues are expected to come up for discussion. For example, the Ebola outbreak, the threat from IS, the maritime row in the South China Sea between China and many of its neighbors, and also a number of issues related to Myanmar on the domestic front, for example, human rights issues, incidents of ethnic violence, media freedom, and of course, trade and investment opportunities in the country. You know, if you look at it, it's a massive opportunity for Myanmar. It's almost like an international appraisal for the country after being out of the diplomatic limelight for several years.
Sunil Sharif from the ARN News Centre joins us every day. We can get him into the studio at just after 5:30. Sunil, good to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thank you.